Shabbat Shalom, wherever you are. May the peace of the Sabbath be upon you. Welcome. Please take a seat. Join me at my Shabbos table and join with me in welcoming the Shabbos bride. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu. Melech haolam shehekiyanu vekiyemanu vehigiyanu lazman hazeh. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has granted us life, sustained us, and brought us to this season. Amen, ve'amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech ha'olam, matir isarim. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has made the forbidden things permissible. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Baruch Sheim Hevad Melkato Leolam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Yea, you shall love your neighbor as you love your very soul. You shall guard him as you guard the pupil of your own eye. Amen. Now we'll have a short musical interlude, and I want to make sure that everything is okay here, recording fine, and that we have sound coming in. It looks like we do because no one has left. So one short musical interlude, and then we'll get on to the Kiddush. I apologize for the breaking up. It's a brand new CD, first time that that track has been played, and I don't know what the problem is. It could be with the sound card. At any rate, I apologize for that. And now, for the lighting of the Sabbath candles, Rabbitzin Samanta will light the Sabbath candles in fulfillment of the two commandments to remember and to keep the Sabbath. Now, she will do that.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu L'Hadlak Neir Shel Shabbat Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commandments and commands us to light the candles of the Shabbos. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And now we shall recite the Kiddush for Erev Shabbat. Vayhi Erev, vayhi Boker, Yom HaShishi, Vaykalu HaShemayim, VeHaaretz, Vekol Tzavayim. Vaykal Elohim Bayom HaShavei Melakto Asher Asa, Vayishbot Bayom HaShavei Mekol Melakto Asher Asa. Vayivrek Elohim et yom hashevei vaykadesh oto kivo shavat mikol malakto asher bara Elohim laasot. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Savri merenan ve-rabanan ve-rabatai, baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha-olam, borei pari hagafen. By your leave, distinguished gentlemen, masters, and teachers. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And we respond together, Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'alam, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotai v'ratzvanu, v'shabbat kodsho be'ahava uv'ratzon hinkolanu, zikaron le'ma'aseh v'rishit. Kihu yam tekala lemekrai kodesh zeker letziat mitzrayim kivenu vaharta veyatenu kadashta mekol ahamim veshabat kadeshaka beyahava uvratzon hinkeltanu baruch atah Adonai mekadesh hashabbat. Amen. Responding together, Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and was pleased with us and his holy Sabbath in love and in favor he gave us a heritage, a memorial of the work of creation. For it is the day beginning for holy convocations, a memorial of the Exodus from Egypt. For you chose us and sanctified us from all the nations, and your holy Sabbath with love and favor you gave us a heritage. Blessed are you, Adonai, who sanctifies the Sabbath. And we respond, Amen. And now, who is ever is at your table that is in charge, will, as I do, pour from the Kiddush cup some wine for each person who is present. We raise our glasses and we clink them together and make this toast to life. L'chaim. Baruch Hashem. And now we do the washing of the hands. After the Kaddish and before the meal, each person at the Shabbos table washes their hands by filling a cup of water and pouring it over the top and bottom of the right hand and then the left hand. And before wiping the hands dry on a towel, we recite the following blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav Vetzivanu Al Netilat Yadayim. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commandments and commands us concerning washing of hands. And now for the Hamatzi, the breaking of the bread together. And now I'm removing the cover, the towel that's, the cloth that's laying over the top of the two challah loaves. And I lift them up for my family and guests to see. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringest forth bread from the earth. And then we each break off a piece. Amen. And now, while we are drinking our wine and eating some bread, we'll play one piece of music, and then we will return for a short teaching. Having a little problems, aren't I? I can't believe this thing won't play. Right. tanz, tanz, yidelech, dance, dance, Jews. And I think I found out what was wrong, and it was that I discovered on the toolbar that Real Player was interfering with Windows Media Player, which I had chosen to play this CD. So I turned off Real Player, so maybe we won't have any interference there. All right. And now for the teaching for this Erev Shabbat. I'll begin with a reading from Sefer Yetzirah, written by our father Avraham, blessed be his memory. And the reading is from Sefer Yetzirah, part 4, verse 6. And it goes, seven doubles, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Kuf, Pe, Resh, Tav, a foundation. He engraved them, he carved them, he permuted them, he weighed them, and with them he formed seven planets in the universe, 7 days in the year, seven gates in the soul, male and female. And I've chosen this reading because today is the summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year in the northern hemisphere. Conversely, it's the winter solstice in the southern hemisphere. And so we have a major change taking place in both northern and southern hemispheres. In the south, the season has turned from winter toward spring and summer. And in the north, we have, believe it or not, turned from winter and spring toward summer and fall. And so it's an important day astronomically, season-wise, astrologically. And so this is why I've chosen this reading from Sefer Yetzirah, which introduces the part dealing with the seven doubles, okay, which are seven letters of the 22 on the Etz Chaim, that is the tree of life, otherwise known as the tree of the 10 holy sephirot. There are 22 connecting lines running between the 10 holy sephirot. Each one of those lines is a channel, a pathway, or it's a channel for God's holy shafa, berachat, his sustenance of blessing, or otherwise known as divine influx, to be passed along from sephira to sephira. And it's a pathway in the sense that these are the paths that the mystics, the Kabbalistic masters, trod when their souls ascend Jacob's ladder into the supernal realms. Okay, in this reading, he says there are seven doubles, and he lists off the letters. And he goes on to say, and remember this is Avraham, so this is long, long ago, and it is taught by our sages that he received this information from being taught by Shem, who was, as you remember, was the blessed son of the three sons of Noach, and was the first mystical teacher in the world, and who had a copy of Sefer HaRaziel, the book of mystical knowledge, given by the angel Raziel, meaning the master of God's mysteries, to Adam and Eve in order to accompany them into exile from Gan Eden. And this was handed down and came into the hands of Shem, who then established an esoteric mystical school, and then Avraham went to him and studied under him. Now then, it says, and with them he formed seven planets in the universe, 7 days in the year, seven gates in the soul, male and female. Now, first of all, who is he? It's capitalized, he. He is Elohim, the God of creation. The seven doubles are the letters, as I said, that name the seven vertical channels or pathways. So if you look at your diagram of the ten sephirot, you'll see that there are horizontal pathways. Those are the three mothers. There are seven doubles. Those are the ones we're talking about now. They're vertical. And there are 12 diagonals, which we're not talking about now. So concentrate on the seven vertical channels. This is what's being talked about in Sefer Yetzirah. It says that Elohim made these channels, made these letters, and placed them in the position that they are in his supernal form, which is the Eskayim. Okay? And as I said, these are the channels through which God's Shafa HaBerachat, the sustenance of blessing or divine influx, is emanated down from the supernal worlds into our world. Now, what did God use these seven letters to form? Well, three different things, three different groups of seven. The first is the seven planets in the universe. These are the planets visible to the naked eye. They are going from the farthest to the closest to us and then going away. Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Sun, Venus, Mercury, and Moon. Now you'll notice there are two in there that aren't technically, scientifically planets, Sun and Moon. But there is a specific reason for this, and it's esoteric and it's mystical, which you will see in just a moment. Each of these planets is associated not only with a specific letter or channel, but also with a specific sephira. For example, the planet called Sun is associated with sephira number 6, which is Tiferet. It is also called the mirror that shines. And of course, the sun does shine, doesn't it? And it's Tiferet is called the mirror that shines because it not only receives emanations, but it also reflects them and shares them through the paths of the letters with the other Sephirot. And if you look at Sephira Yetzirah, or excuse me, Tiferet, you will see that it has channels coming to it and going to all of the other nine Sephirot except for Malkut. And it's interesting that that one is accepted because the very next one we're going to talk about is the other non-technically correct planet, which is known as Moon. Moon is associated with Sephira number 10, Malkut Kingdom. And this is the one, curiously enough, that we just mentioned, that Tiferet does not have a channel going directly to. The channel to Malkut goes from Tiferet to Isod, which is foundation. And then from foundation, a channel goes to Malkut. Now, what did it say? The first line of our reading in Sefer Yetzirah, it said seven doubles, and it lists off the seven letters, and then it says of foundation. What is Isod? Isod is Hebrew for foundation. It is the foundation of the world. It is the foundation of all the worlds, the supernal worlds, and the foundation of the cosmos, the physical universe. And only from it does Sephira number 10, Malkut, kingdom, receive its light, its divine sustenance. So therefore, foundation number 9 is the fructifying, the blessing Sephira. It's sometimes referred to as the genitals of the figure of man in which God made the world, which, of course, if you remember, is in the image of God. Okay? Now, number 10, Sephira number 10, Malkut, is also known as Shekinah, God's indwelling presence in the world. And remember, it's the moon. So we have a father sun, and we have a mother moon, or the prince of the king is Tiferet, Melka Kadisha HaMashiach, the sun. And the moon is Shekinah, the feminine, God's feminine, his lower feminine. There's an upper feminine called Binah. But this Sephira number 10, Malkut, Shekinah, is the lower feminine, the exiled divine presence or presence of God, the exiled daughter of God, or princess. It's also called the mirror that does not shine, because it receives emanation only from above, and it does not reflect them back up or share them with a sephirot that are above her. So she is the moon that does not shine, just as the moon doesn't emanate its own radiations. It emanates only what it receives from the sun. So too does the God's divine indwelling presence take in and radiate out only what it receives from the sun, which is the Holy One, blessed be He. Now what else did God make with these seven doubles, these seven letters? He made the 7 days in the year. These are the days of the week. Sun day, moon day, and Shabbat. Those are the three Hebrew named days of the week. The others are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, which are either Roman or Nordic. Actually, they're all Nordic. They're Nordic names because of the influence from the Aryan nations and the northern nations in medieval history in Europe. So we have the 7 days. One is named after the sun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is named after the moon, that's Monday, and that is the divine daughter. And the other is Shabbat. And that's the day upon which the holy bride, Malkut, the Shekinah, is united with the holy groom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the day we're celebrating now on Erev Shabbat. Now, each day of the week is associated not only with a specific letter and a specific sephira, but also with the planet which was made on that day, and also with one of the seven primary traits. Now, what do I mean by the seven primary traits? These are wisdom, wealth, seed, life, dominance, peace, and grace. The seven primary traits. And none of them are negative, with the possible exception of dominance, which in its evil form, which in its good form, because all of these have a positive and negative side to them, because God is the God and a source of all opposites in nature, in existence. So dominance in its good aspect means stability and control, as in the function of the king over the kingdom and the priest over the flock. In its negative side, it can mean war and aggression and murder. And I won't go into the rest of these, but there are seven primary traits, each one associated with a day of the week. And each day of the week associated with a holy letter, and also associated with a specific sephira. For example, let's look at the day that's Shabbos. That's today. We're in the evening of Shabbos. Okay? This day of the week is associated with the letter Bet. It is associated with the sephira binah, which is the upper feminine. The upper feminine and the lower feminine are joined together on this day. The mother and the daughter, which had been split apart, are rejoined, reunified. And they are associated, the day of Shabbos is associated with the and is under the control of the planet Saturn, which in Hebrew is Shabbatai. More about which later. Okay, because we are teaching Sabbateanism here. This is Neo-Sabbatean. And the divine trait, the seven divine trait that Shabbos is associated with is wisdom. Wisdom, Chokmah. All right. Now, the third thing that Elohim crafted and carved out with and engraved with the seven letters, the doubles, the vertical doubles, are the seven gates in the soul, male and female. Now, what does that mean? These are the seven openings in the human skull. There's the right eye and the left eye, the right ear and the left ear, the right nostril and the left nostril, and the mouth. These openings are the gates through which we perceive the world of creation, and through which we create our own worlds. Now remember that I've taught before that that in the world of the highest world, the fifth world, going up from us, is you have the four worlds of the divine Sephirot, okay, and then above Atzilut, the topmost of the Sephirotic worlds, is the world of Adam Kadmon, primordial man. And it was through Adam Kadmon that Ein Sof made the Sephirotic worlds, which in turn made the universe and cosmos and this world, and then peopled it with all the animals, plants, and us. Okay? Adam Kadmon, when it was time to make the Sephirotic worlds, it was with light that shone out of the seven openings in his head, the right and left eyes, the ears, the nostrils, and the mouth, the seven gates through which God made, through Adam Kadmon, the Sephirotic world, and then after that, our world. And it is these are the gates, these are the openings through which we perceive the world that has been created for us. And also, according to the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, through which we create our own worlds when we awake with fervor and are made whole and new and made fit to create, like the Holy One, blessed be He, who created His world. Now, why should we care about all of this? As one of you asked, isn't all of this stuff connected with astrology? Isn't this against halakha or forbidden by halakha? Yes and no. What's forbidden is what's practiced by the Gentiles who have no connection to God in their practices and which are using magic, pure magic, not theurgy. Theurgy is the influence of God for the purpose of triggering emanations in God's, in the Godhead, in God's supernal body, okay, which is the Etz Chaim, the tree of life, which will trigger the outpouring of God's Shafa HaBarakat, His sustenance of blessing upon the world. And so let me quote what Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, the great 18th century Kabbalist, wrote about this. And he says, in the first section we discussed, and what I'm reading from is Derech Hashem, The Way of God, one of his great treatises. I'm reading from part 2, chapter 7, verses 1 and 3. And he says, this is about astrology, and he doesn't use the word astrology, but I'm just using a vernacular here for it. In the first section, we discussed how every physical phenomenon has its root among the transcendental forces. First, the thing is rooted in the spiritual realm in all the necessary ways. Afterward, it is committed more and more to the material world until it finds itself in the form that is desired for it in the physical realm. It was for the sake of this process that the stars and planets were created. Through their movements and cycles, influences in the spiritual realm are transmitted and reflected to their physical counterparts, allowing things to exist in the material world, in the physical form that was ordained for them. So what he's saying is that the planets and the stars were created as intermediary vessels through which God sends down His divine influx, His holy Shafa, His Shafa HaBarakah, the sustaining blessing without which the laws of the universe, the physical laws of the universe would cease to operate. And if you think about it, it's true. If the stars and planets stopped revolving, because that's what he's talking about here, it's through their movements and cycles, to use his exact words. If these were to stop, then all life as we know it, and indeed the universe as we know it, would cease to exist. It would all come crashing back together. So it is through the movements and the cycles of the stars that God transmits His divine and spiritual energy, which is what sustains the world and determines the physical form that was ordained for every physical thing in the world, including animals and people. And he goes on to say, every human being is also subjected to this system, and whatever happens to him is a result of this astrological influence. But then he cautions us to say, however, remember that God can overrule the mechanistic, or let's say automatic operations, that is the carrying out of the pre-designated functions that God wishes to be carried out in this world that are transmitted through the stars and the planets in the form of gravity, in the form of light, in the form of quantum physics, which is now beginning to verify and confirm all of these Kabbalistic, or many of these Kabbalistic teachings, some of which they haven't come to yet. But this one, too, I predict, will be confirmed, that the stars and the planets have an influence on all of us. So, why should we care about this? For a couple of reasons. First, the date and time that a person is born is, according to Kabbalah, of vital importance. Let's just take one example. Let's look at Shabtai Zvi, the 17th century Messiah, the only Messiah recognized by the whole of Israel during the years 1665 to 1667. And he was universally recognized by Israel throughout all of its diaspora, wherever the Israelites were, from Morocco to the far eastern steppes of Ukraine and Russia, and all the way into the Netherlands, all of the major part of the world. He was recognized as the Messiah. So we look at him, and how do we relate this to anything having to do with these seven letters, these doubles, and their attributes and their planets and stars of influence? Well, let's take a look at this. And I could go on and on about this, but I'm going to really summarize this quickly because this is supposed to be a short teaching on this day. He was born under the influence of the planet Saturn. The name in Hebrew for the planet Saturn is Shabtai, which is also related to the word Shabbos. Okay, Shabtai, his name is Shabtai. His family name was Zvi, but his first name was Shabtai, which reflects the planet under whose influence he was born, which is Saturn. The letter associated with him for being born on that day was Bet. And Bet stands for the word Bayit, house. And what is the pre-existing house? The house that pre-existed the creation of the world, we are taught by the sages, that's the house of Israel. The house which God says, my house shall be as a house of prayer to all the nations. Shall be for a house of prayer to all the nations. So the house of Israel pre-existed the creation of the world. What else pre-existed the creation of the world? The name of the Messiah. And of course, who was Shabtai Zvi? The great Messiah. Some people say he was a false Messiah. We do not agree. He was a failed Messiah in that he didn't bring about the Mashiach ben David, the Messiah that comes at the end of times. But he was definitely a Messiah from the house of Joseph, one who comes to prepare the world and the people for the coming of the Messiah. What else is associated through these seven letters? His sephira is Binah. Again, Binah is associated with the Mashiach. The Mashiach is associated with Sephira Tefirat, who is named Malka Kedisha HaMashiach, the Holy King Messiah. That's Tefirat. And we are taught by the sages that the Messiah won't come until Binah joins with Tefirat. His trait, his divine trait, associated with the letter Bet and the planet Saturn, or Shabbatai, is Chokmah, which is wisdom. And when he came, well, and I'll go on because this is hand in hand, and the gate to his soul is the mouth. Now think about this. When he came, he is the first Messiah to announce publicly that he was the Messiah. All of the prior Messiahs let other people, such as their prophets, announce this. But he announced it. And the whole world, he is the first one in which the whole Jewish world accepted it. So he used his mouth to announce that he was the Messiah. And what else did he do? He taught wisdom from his mouth. He taught that it was time for that when the Messiah comes, a new Torah he will bring. And the old Torah will be abrogated. And a new Torah put in place, one fit for all the people of the world to learn from. Men and women, women as well as men, I should say, and Gentiles as well as Jews. And of course, for these reasons and other strange mystical actions, Maasim Zarim, he was castigated and renounced as a heretic by the Orthodox rabbis of the time. But what I'm trying to point out here is there's all of these coincidences that are based upon attributes that were set down by Avraham many thousands of years before the birth of Shabtai Zvi. And yet his life followed a pattern that you could look at these influences that come down from the planet Saturn and the letter Beit, and the Sefirah Binah, and the trait of Chokmah, and the gate to his soul, which was his mouth. And one can see that it fits perfectly well with his life, which was of being a Messiah. The other reason that these are important factors is because we too, as tzaddikim, as the righteous, if we align ourselves with these influences and we have the proper kavana and we know the proper holy names or the proper permutations of the holy letters, we too can enter into that place of Bina, where we can enter then into Chokmah and draw down, which is, remember, is nothingness, Ayin, which is the purpose of meditation, right? The emptying out of the vessel. We can enter therein and receive and trigger the divine influx and draw it down upon this world according to good purposes and put these things to good use. What are the only two valid reasons? The only two valid reasons for theurgy, and this is the difference between magic or practical Kabbalah and theurgy. Practical Kabbalah or magic is when a person tries to take over the divine powers and influences and turn them to his will for his own or someone else's selfish purposes. And this is strictly forbidden. This is the same with astrology. If it's used for that purpose, it's forbidden. And this is in partial answer to the question that I was asked at the beginning of this Erev Shabbat worship service. But using it for in the good way for theurgy, what we do is we influence God. We trigger God to release his Shafa HaBerakat, his sustenance of blessing, and it pours forth upon all. It comes out of Keter, the crown, the king, and it pours forth upon all of the upper Sefirot, and pours forth finally into the final vessel of Malkut or Shekinah, and then, if we are truly righteous, or a tzaddik, or a righteous person, just a normal righteous person, not in the sense of the word tzaddik as used in Hasidism, as the leader of a group or a village, a spiritual leader, but just as any regular righteous person who wants to do this and is a mystic and tries to lead a righteous life can do this. It pours forth onto that person and through that person into the world. But again, only for with the right kavana, that means the right motives and purposes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, maker, giver, sustainer, and destroyer of all the worlds, all the stars, all the planets. Chumash Sinipsu, Chuani, Shawe, Elohim, Maheya, Adonai. Hear our prayer. Please accept our sincere thanksgiving for the blessings, for blessing us with life in a physical body here below, according to your will. Thank you for the gifts of your wisdom, your understanding and knowledge, and for your long-suffering patience, even when we repeatedly fail to love you with all of our hearts, all of our souls, and all of our mights. Forgive us for not loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, and redeem us from this fault so that we may radiate your loving kindness and holy sustenance, which we try to draw down into this world. May we radiate it to all our relations and to the whole entire world and the universe. Let us be your holy mirror. Let us be a mirror that shines, reflecting the resplendent light of your glory, which we receive from your Shekinah, your divine indwelling presence. May we reflect that resplendent light of your glory to the nations. Let us bring through the examples of our personal lives to those who are discouraged in fear or sorely oppressed the liberation of hope, courage, and strength. Grant us the confidence to look upon the darkness of your shadow and to transform that by the light which shines forth from us. Transform that darkness, which is evil, into the light, which is good. We say these things for your glory, for the glory of your name, and for the glory of your kingdom, in your holy name, as you have taught us to say, Aheya Asher, Aheya, I am, blessed am I. Amen, Amen. All right. A couple of announcements, or one announcement, I guess. And then we will go to music, and we will be able to text each other in fellowship. Okay, our meeting dates again for our Erev Shabbos services, and on the next day, the Shabbos prayer and meditation, are the first and third Friday and Saturday of each month. This, of course, is the third Saturday of the month of June. That's why we're meeting today, and that's why tomorrow my Shabbos table will begin at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m., excuse me, that's at 12 noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, tomorrow. Excuse me, I just messed up that announcement. Let me start again. My Shabbos prayer and meditation will run from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow, and also on every first and third Saturday of each month. We hope you will join us for meditation for the purpose of ascending Jacob's ladder, going through the mother, Binah, to reach the father, Chokmah, and becoming empty so that we may receive whatever it is in the form of wisdom that the Holy One, blessed be He, has to impart to us. Okay, thank you very much, and now I will just put on some music, let it run, and then we can text each other. I'll unread you all, and we can text each other and have a good time.
Adonai ki tov ki l'olam chasdo Hodu l'Elokei ha'elokim ki l'olam chasdo ki l'olam chasdo Hodu l'Adonai ha'adonim ki l'olam chasdo L'osei nefla'ot gedolot levado ki l'olam chasdo